Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, standing 6'2", 285 pounds, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. It's the number one fuckboy, the number one fuck, Johnny G. Joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Give him a shout-out. All you gotta do is trust me. That's Jackson Maine. Don't know why Arthur's not reacting to my Star is Born reference. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios from the podcast Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea Devantes, it's the titular Chelsea Devantes.
Hi. Welcome. I'm so happy to be here.
I feel like I'm absolutely exhausted, so please cover for us.
No. I think you, listen, you set it up. You got to hold on to it the rest of the podcast. You can't come back down.
I mean, that is what I thought comedy was for like 8 years of my life, was just like wear a headband, chug a beer, and break something, and people will think it's funny.
I got to say, still works. That still works. Like if I'm on stage and something's going wrong, being like, whoa, and chugging a beer and throwing it, it's next to a joke.
It's joke. It's enough where it's like, all right, she's trying something here. I'm going to laugh. I'm back on board. This is nuts enough for me. I'm in.
Also, I mean, like every time I watch Jake Beaton, he's like, yeah, we're having fun. I'm just sort of like, yeah, I guess I am. Like I could totally be bullied into anything. And I try and remember that when I'm on stage, like you're loving this.
It's really funny. Like sometimes when like you hear people say, like, sometimes you just have to tell the audience that they're enjoying themselves and they start to enjoy themselves. And I've seen it work, and it's worked on me a professional, in quotes, performer, but like I've gotten caught up with a person's like, come on, this is funny, and you're like, yeah, you know, this actually is kind of funny.
That is the truly, it is the best advice I've ever been given and then I do it in other parts of my life now. That piece of advice changed my life. So getting on stage and being like, wow, you guys are such a good audience, until they just come up to the bar. And now I'll do it with like family members, where I'll be like, wow, you're just so there for me, and you're connected, and you're really helping out, and I can really tell that things are going well for us. And then just kind of like force it to happen.
That's so
family
smart.
Members, work situations, strangers on the street. Wow, you're so kind. Thank you.
I dare you to break this positive compliment I just set you up with.
Break this reality. Yeah. I set our reality. I dare you to ruin it.
All you have to do is play into it. I'm setting it up. I'm laying out the red carpet. Step on it and just walk down and be a good friend.
Just walk with me.
It's all
walk
you, baby. I'm going to start doing that. I'm ready to trap my wife in some weird logic thing when she gets home.
Oh, that'll be fun for her. Well, you know, I had this done to me also in, I don't want to say an evil way, but I had this person I worked with once who would be horrible to you. Horrible, like these horrible upsets on stage, and the next day would be like, hey, how are you? Great show last night, right? And in my head, I'd be like, I guess it wasn't that bad. And And we are good, aren't we? Like, you don't seem to think that this was bad. So yeah, maybe I blew it out of proportion. And I was like, that's sociopathic and magical.
Yeah, it's manipulative, like, wow, in a way. I know so many people.
What a narcissist move that I should use in my life.
Oh, that's the worst part too, is that when I see some of the most manipulative, narcissistic shit in our industry, I go, ooh, I need to bring a little bit of that into my career. And it's like, it's
100%.
So, it's so fucked up. I'm like, oh, this person's behavior is absolutely disgusting to me, but I do need to start doing what he does a little bit because it's working for them.
When you're, I watched someone walk themselves onto a red carpet once where, like, it started with just kind of like being around, saying hi to people. And they were just kind of edging closer and closer until they were on the carpet and people were taking photos of them. And I was like, that is horrifying. And like, am I supposed to do that? Like, am I supposed, and then like, be like, yeah, I am a, like, just weird, glad handing networking. You're like, you're a disgusting pig. And like, God, I really should get better at that.
Yeah, I don't feel like I belong anywhere and don't want to feel like that. But some other people see a situation like that and go, it's insane that I'm not part of that. And for me, it's like, I don't at all want to be a part of that. But then you start to be like, should I want to be a part of that? Because wanting to be a part of that seems like it's working for these people who I strongly dislike, but somebody with hiring power does seem to like this behavior.
Does seem to like them. Yeah, I just want the self-esteem. You know, like, whatever self-esteem for everyone to be like, you, like, you suck, and you to be like, no, I don't. And and I'm going to brag about myself. It's just like, I'd like, I would genuinely love that, because instead I'm the person where someone is like, I thought that episode was just okay. And I'm like, I guess I should just fucking jump off a bridge. Like, this person said it was just okay.
I'm telling them already. I'm like, I wrote this shit episode. Like, I'm already ahead of them. Like,
oh yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah,
I don't think highly of anything I've done. Like, that's how I present everything I do. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, you know, yes. It's just my stupid little podcast. I don't know. Come on. If you want to come on, if you don't want to come on, I don't blame you. I hate it. I'm dumb. It's awful. My voice is terrible. Your voice is terrible. Why would we listen to this? But if you want to come on, thank you so much. Thank you. And I'll do yours. I'll do yours. I don't care. I know I say I hate podcasts, but I'm like so broken in that way.
I have to tell you, though, and this is pretty fucked up, just watching you do that, I was like, that is kind of charming. I was like, that's very charming. But I will say, I think it's because you have a beard and you seem like a strong guy. Whereas if I did that, if I was like, oh, I'm so stupid, I just have my stupid little thing, I think they'd be like, yeah, you dumb bitch, you are stupid. Get out of here.
Six Ivy League educated men just push right through you. You're like, well, not. They're like, perfect, great, we'll climb right over this. No problem.
The moment I'm like, I was just wondering, they've punched me in the face. Yeah. They've thrown me in the train track. Like,
they've
already told
the executive producer, you need to be let loose. Like, it's like, wait, what? I just was like, I think that, you know, like, bad pitch, but they're like, bad pitch, no room for that. And you're like, wait, what? No.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we're all being self-deprecating.
I'm like, I'm not sure if this is very good. And they're like, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. You're stupid. And you're like, okay. Yep. So I can't do any of that. I have to like pretend to be very confident. And then inside, I'm like, you're the worst person in the world. But on the outside, I'm like, I deserve to be here just as much as you.
Oh, I wonder if my self-deprecation is a reaction to my own actual narcissism in a weird way, when I want to undercut myself, sort of like the exact opposite of what you're saying is like, I'm worried if I come across as confident, people would, I think there's something about my engagement in society that I want the bar to be as low as possible when you interact with me for me to succeed. So I think I just like set the bar super, like, I don't know, you want to come do this bullshit thing? And it's like, they're like, oh, this is actually really fun. And in my head, I'm like, great, because this is like the hardest I've ever worked on something in my entire life. But I refuse to put my flag in it in any way other than like, hey, it's this dumb thing. If you want to do it, whatever. It's like, it's my lifeblood. It's like,
you're saving yourself from rejection. You can't risk the rejection. Yeah. So if they're like, it was dog shit, you're like, I knew that. I'm aware.
As a heterosexual male, I compare everything to getting laid from like my younger years, and it's like I do the same because it's all flirting.
Wait, I'm sorry, does that mean like you're like before sex you're like, this is gonna suck, my dick is the worst, out of rhythm, you're not gonna come, let's go?
Not exactly right before sex, but that is that like was my game for years, was just like,
right, because then you would attract women probably like me who are very type A, and it's like, I'll fix you, I'll do all the work, I'll build your self-esteem up, you're a great man, oh, I'm here, I'll hold you.
I just want them to be like, that actually was good, or like, you actually are a good guy, or like, you're actually good looking. And I'm like, oh, thank God I was right. I was right. I am good. I got like, and it's like, I am fucking insane. Dealing with me is insane. I'm cocky and hate myself. It's like the worst combination of people. Like,
And you know what? I think that's a lot of comedians.
Yeah.
Cocky and hate your it's like we would be jumping off a bridge being like, by the way, that set did crush, and then you would jump.
Be like, I bet you I have a bigger splash than you. It's like, what? You guys are committing suicide. It's like, I used to be a swimmer, so I'm gonna probably do a dive. I might do a dive if that's okay.
I might do a dive. No, that's so, I feel the same way, where like I'm extremely confident and outgoing and I get things done. And I do think my decision is the best decision. And if you told me to die, I'd be like,
fair enough.
Agree. Fair enough. I'm not going to fight you on that point.
I'm out of here.
Bye.
Speaking of death, this conversation we want to have here stems from, we took it from the internet to Red Table. We were like, let's bring this to the table.
Well, I'm going to say I was genuinely upset. But here's what I'll say. I was in quarantine, you know, as we all were. I tweeted, I think I've seen every great rom-com out there, because I really love rom-coms.
Same.
Yeah, yes. And I said, give me your number one rom-com in case there's any I've missed. And Gabrus came and said, About Time is your favorite rom-com of all time. And to your credit, I think six other people joined you who I know who were like, this movie fucking rocks. So I put it on. I'm like, well, I gotta watch this movie. This is gonna be incredible. And it was so dog shit. It then made me so... I was like, how do you guys like this movie? And I need to find out today how this happened to your brain.
I couldn't even.
And multiple other people's.
I couldn't believe that this is me being, again, probably narcissism, but like this, I couldn't believe there is a different opinion of this movie than It's Amazing. You know what I mean? Like, and I should cop to, I don't know if it's my favorite rom-com, but it's my rom-com fair. That I would say someone who watches a lot of rom-coms might not have seen. Like,
yes, but that's a great call, because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah. So I was like, ooh, this will thread the needle, and I really, really enjoy it. It's got a sci-fi. And then I threw it on last night to, like, refresh myself a little bit.
Freshen up for the pod.
And I was having some difficulty with the movie, and I, like, am maybe mad at you now. I think I'm mad at you, Joe.
Dude, I bet it's because you had to watch it through, like, well, if I did hate the movie, and then you found all these things to hate, and I ruined the movie for you. Which I say, you're welcome.
Yeah, join the club, bitch.
Don't walk around saying that movie is good anymore.
I found myself being like, wow, this is weird. Like, and then I really started to unpack why it meant so much to me. And then I was oh, this is so hyper specific. Like, I'm a dude whose dad died young, and I had a complex relationship with him. Oh. These guys have a good father-son relationship.
Yeah.
I'm a Donald Gleason fan. I think he's so charming and great and everything. The Notebook is another one of it's not a rom-com, more of a rom-dram, but another amazing
great
movie. And then so I think I'm loving her a little bit from that. And I'm like, oh, I'm bringing a lot of my own juice into this. And then it's a little sci-fi-y. Arguably, it's using like video game technology, like the save point thing of like, let me save the game before I go in this fight. And then you lose the fight. You're like, okay, let's jump back to right before the fight and do something different. So I think it activated like young, overthinking video game brain. And I was like, oh, this movie's more designed for me to fall in love with it than it is a good rom-com. And that's what I'll safely say.
Yeah. That's a great take on it. And rom-coms really do that to you. I mean, we all watched My Best Friend's Wedding, where we were like, what a great movie. And you revisit it and you're like, this bitch is 21. She's 20 in the movie. Cameron Diaz's role. And she's dropping out of college to marry this like 40-year-old man. And Julia Roberts never got a wedding invitation. Like, none of it makes sense. But rom-coms feed you things where you're like, this is fun and lovely. And only later you're like, none of it makes sense.
Oh, most rom-com behavior from the guy who wins over the girl is considered assault at this point. I mean, it was assault at the time, but is now officially people are comfortable saying, that's assault, dude. That's trespassing. Like, that's breaking and entering. Well,
which, speaking of... This actually wasn't what bothered me about the movie, but technically, if you want to go there, he is tricking his wife over and over and over again and making her be with him. You technically want to go there.
That is really, that is a real problem with the movie when you start to think about it, because it's like parallel dimension non-consent. Like, it's like he's not getting consent to revisit events with her. She's not getting the chance to do. McAdams isn't getting the chance.
No, she's no free will. Yeah. No. Because you're manipulating her reality constantly.
Well, that's what I kept thinking about, because they don't talk about the butterfly effect or anything, or the multi-stream timelines, because the real sci-fi nerd is like, if he jumps back after the wrong best man speech, is there another married couple off on their own string theory of fucking that had the awful speech, or that was based on the first meeting they had, or like, and I'm like, is he just, because how many people's lives are just ruined from this guy going, let me take that again.
I think that's also what bothers me about the movie, because you could say it's sci-fi and video game theory, which is so interesting, or you could say he stole Groundhog's Day. Just right. Groundhog's Day for a rom-com where you're like, but Groundhog's Day has it has a form to it. So if you don't want to completely rip it off, you have to make up for it. And so from the very beginning, here's what really pisses me off. His dad's like, we can travel back in time and fix mistakes and jump around and blah, blah, blah. And then his dad's like, you know what I did? I read a lot of books. And then the son is going to be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get women who are way hotter than me to be with me, even though they never would be. And there's no world where you're like, no one's going to help anybody. No one's going to like help a homeless man, racism.
It's not even on the mind. It's not even on anyone. Fucking,
it's like, bitch, you read books? You read books, you piece of shit? Like,
also, he read Dickens 3 times. It's like, what? Of like, all the people that read 3 times?
Yeah. And so, I get that it's like, okay, for the rom-com, you have to believe that all he's going to do is spend his life on love. But you're just like, you selfish prick. Like, you never once used it to help someone. And when you did, and it was for your sister, it hurt yourself. And so then you're like, well, she's got to get in that crash. Because
she's
going
to have
remain.
To learn. Yeah. It's so
yeah,
crazy.
And you're like... Yeah. Wow, what a wasted gift, you piece of trash.
Yeah, it is funny that there's no recollection of, like, we might help try to figure out what's up with our uncle. Like, we might try to help blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And then you learn...
No, we might try to help one person on the street who's suffering.
My problem gets into the sci-fi nitty-gritty that it's like, when you jump back, once you have a kid, you can change things because of the sperm and egg. And I'm like, that's the only, like... chance encounter thing?
Yes.
Like that feels crazy for that specific to be there. It's like, I don't want to keep jumping back and having my daughter. I picture, like, they did it when the kid was like 2 or whatever to set that up. So what we're discussing is, if you jump back in time, even if it's like for me to help Chelsea figure something out, but I jump before one of my kids was born,
the sperm hit my wife's egg.
Yeah. Now, this is what I also don't understand. So by that design, that means when he made that jump to go help his sister, he went all the way back to the New Year's party that the movie starts on to help his sister.
Yes.
Did he then completely re-court Rachel McAdams and do all the same beats to get their relationship right back up to where it was? Because that is what would have to happen, right?
Yes, 100%. And how about this? Just jump back to right before she gets in the car and go with her. And instead he's like, nope, guess she's got to get in that car wreck. And it's like, bitch, like, you just jump to the car. Just jump to the car and just... give her a ride. And he's like, nope, moving on. She's going to have to.
Jump to that morning when you're having dinner and you know she's coming over. Jump to your closet, wake up, get in your car, drive to Kit Kat's house and say, Kit Kat, let me give you a ride today.
Yeah. Call her up and say, hey, Kit Kat, don't come over today.
Yeah.
Don't come over today. None of it. He tries none of it.
Yeah. But I'm picturing him like now in this run, he's like, okay, I have to go to the fucking blind restaurant. I have to, the lights out restaurant. Yeah. Okay. And I have to be trying. Oh, and 3 days later, I finger her for the first time and I have to match every, like trying to get the exact, she's like, how about tonight? And you're like, I can't. It's next Friday is when I finally go raw. You know what I mean? It's like such a weird dynamic to like, he would have to do everything. He would be sitting at the same restaurant again with her in the same date again. And he would have
doing
done that.
All of it.
Right. He would have to live
also,
his full life.
He's not that good. Like at one point he would fuck someone else. Like every time, like, and I'm only saying that because the beginning of the movie, who's the model who he's like, I'm going to be with this model. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to fuck you. It's just the hottest woman in the world. And And then she doesn't. And then he's like, okay, Rachel McAdams. And it's like, you clearly only care about hot women. Like you're not like, I love love. You love models. And so you know he would just at some point be like, well, listen, I have 1,000 lives. Like, I guess I'll try and finger that model.
Yeah. Well, he even when Margot Robbie comes back later on in the movie.
Oh, that's who it was. Margot Robbie.
Yeah,
yes.
You're like, is he going to throw this away for her? Like that, like, that feels even... I got to give the funny, charming moment is when he gets asked to give her sunscreen on his back and he handles it so poorly. But then when he's like, I have, and he just sprints away and does a repeat. And then when she's like, can you do my sunscreen? He's like, yeah, let me just finish a chapter. And he like is like super casual. I'm like, that's really funny. But he's also like, okay, this is the summer I manipulate this woman visiting me into fucking me on last day.
Also, I truly cannot stand, like, I get that the woman in a rom-com, having her be hot is aesthetically pleasing to all of us. What makes you think the same standard shouldn't be for the man? Like, just make them both unattainably hot. But every time you're like, and no offense to him, great actor, but it's like, you're not in the realm of Rachel McAdams and Margot Robbie. And anyway, you honestly can't even be their brother. Like, you're so far out of their gene pool.
While we're on the topic, and I'll say that's the power of Rachel McAdams, though, is that she, like, Margot Robbie doesn't have this. Margot Robbie's, like, too oddly beautiful. Rachel McAdams is either, like, believable as Ryan Gosling's equal. Even though she's an absolute knockout beauty, she's also believable as she would because she,
she is not believable as his equal. If you saw both of them walking down the street, you would say, what happened to her?
Right. But
is she okay?
But if you engage with Rachel McAdams, you'd be like, this woman, this person is capable of anything. She's so full of love. Margot Robbie takes me as like, that person is a different person. And I'm probably projecting Notebook Rachel McAdams into her actual personality as an actor, but there's something about her that she seems so magnanimous and so like big-hearted that you'd be like, she doesn't need good looks. Yeah, exactly. Oh. That's like, she's not even looking for looks. You wouldn't think that they were equally good looking, but you'd be like, she's such a good soul.
She doesn't care. Okay.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
I'm with you on that, but just when it comes to the basic like rom-coms about a beautiful love story that we all want to believe in that's completely fake, I just don't understand why the rule isn't that the man should be hot too.
And you know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna, because the men write and direct these movies
of course,
so frequently.
Of course. So that is my other problem with this. So I was watching the movie and I was like, who the fuck wrote this? Like, is he 90 years old? And then I looked it up and was like, yeah, he's 90 years old because he did three things where I was like, this is psychotic. He would do old man jokes and try and get away with it by making the main character like a gentleman. So this girl comes up in the movie once and she's like, oh, I have to like, you know, do this. My girlfriend's here with me. And he's like, oh, you're gay. And she's like,
oh, this
no,
is...
I'm, that's just my friend. And he's like, oh, I don't know modern lingo, even though I'm a young person because I'm
lawyer.
A gentleman. Yeah, I'm a lawyer. And it's like, no, just you're an old man who clearly like this makes you, this tickles you. You're like, ha, 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 the word girlfriend. But then you put it in the movie as like, oh, something a real person would say.
Not only that, but they hit it twice. They hit that beat twice. So the first slip up of like, oh, that is like and it's hack, but that's an understand. The second time he literally says like, Oh, because you know, saying girlfriend could be confusing because it's like, why would you even say that? You realize the first time you fucked it up. Why would you on this time travel blow this moment with the exact same with
same thing?
The less active and choice. It's like fucking weird.
And it's a conversation. Maybe someone said that 35 years ago. 35 years ago, they were like, oh, language is changing. And the other thing, I mean, other things really bother me about it. So the Rachel McAdams character is obsessed with Kate Moss and thinks she's like such an artist. And it's just like, what man wrote this? Like, what are you talking about? Like, no woman who's supposed to be what the rest of her character is like. That woman does not enjoy Kate Moss. It's just like you jack off to Kate Moss and then you are trying to put it in this woman's mouth.
And
that
the
she
fact
likes her.
That she never says to Donald Gleason when he's like, I love Kate Moss too. She's not like, but yeah, but like, if
yeah,
any
course,
dude's like, I'm a huge Kate Moss fan, I'd be like, yeah, dude, me too. Like, why would you oh, you mean you appreciate the art of modeling is what you're telling me?
Yeah, yeah. And that's and then there's this whole thing about Kate Moss and even if you were going to have a character talk about the art of modeling, which there is merit to, Kate Moss is not the girl you're picking.
Right.
That's not who you're picking for to make that argument with.
We should talk. The writer director is Richard Curtis, fucking insane amount of credits, but you are right. He is like 1,000. He's been making these movies forever. He did Love Actually, Four Weddings and a Funeral. But he's been like writing since like Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean sketches and stuff. Like he's you know, apparently if you're like a British talent, like, they don't put you in a genre. They're like, are you a British? Are you a writer? Well, then
are you a British talent?
You write 75% of British television, whether it's drama, cops, comedy. It's like, oh, are you an actor? Oh, are you Olivia Colman? Great. Well, you'll be in indie groundbreaking comedies, insane high dramas, Oscar winning roles. It's like, there's something about the British actor where it's just like, yeah, we're all just going to the same factory and crank out fucking art here. It's such a weird, we're in America.
That is
like,
such a good point.
Chris Pratt holds a gun in this movie and he was previously on Parks and Rec. And it's
that's
like,
crazy.
Whoa. It's like a role you've never seen Bob Odenkirk in. Meanwhile, like Olivia Colman has done like a thousand, like her range is insane based on her resume.
That is so true. And same with Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Mm-hmm. She does Star Wars. She does Murder. She does Fleabag. Yeah, that's such a good point. It also makes sense that he did Love Actually though, because all the women in that movie are dog shit as well. And you know what? Love Actually, very enjoyable to watch. Is it horrible to women and people of color? Yes. It's a bad movie, but you can at least still enjoy it. Where About Time, I was like, fuck you. I mean, there are so many prostitute jokes. So there's like 7 prostitute jokes. And in one movie, come on.
And in one movie that features 0 prostitutes.
Like it's like if it's Pretty Woman, we're making some zingers.
There's not 7 prostitute jokes in Pretty Woman.
There's not one. It'd be in poor taste, but no, they're constant. It's just like him and Rachel McAdams just like constantly knocking prostitutes. You're just like, how?
She refers
but again,
to
like,
one
this
of her
is...
friends, one of her closest female friends as a friendly prostitute.
Yeah. And again, even the language, the way everything about it is so bad. And you're like, yeah, this is a 9-year-old man who thinks like this is... You know, this is how we talk about and joke about sex workers. There's also one other thing that fucking killed me, which is that there's a night where when he goes out to the movie theater and runs into Margot Robbie. The reason Rachel McAdams doesn't want to go is because she has to sleep all day. Because
she sleeps Sundays away. That's like her thing or one day
her
a
thing.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we're supposed to believe that this normal woman wakes up at 9 a.m., goes back to bed, and when he gets back to the house at 9 p.m., still asleep.
That's really confusing.
What's wrong with her?
Without any explanation, like, oh, she pulls double shifts all week long.
This is her job.
Yeah, she's a drug. She's like, does K on Saturday nights all night long. Yeah. You know, like, she got to sleep off the hangover. Nothing is justified. It does feel, and I think this is like old school rom-com shit. It does feel like, well, why wouldn't she want to go to the movies? It's like, you know what'd be interesting? What if she's like a person who sleeps one day out of 7 a week? And someone's like, that's actually really interesting for a female character. The way like when men write women,
that's
it's like
a really complex, nuanced female character. She sleeps one day a week.
That's the shit. Like when I was starting out, I would be writing, I'd be like, she wears camo. It's like, isn't that weird?
She's That's really a- tough and mean.
Yeah. Like Garden State's like, she drives a scooter. This makes her a fully realized individual.
Or like all action movies where they're like, all right, there's a girl there and she's super tough. Is she terrible at the job and will do nothing the rest of the movie? Yes. But man, can she like burn your britches?
Can she hang with the boys? Like that's like every guy's fetish in every writer's fetish in those movies is like, she's just like a dude but has tits, you'll love her, you know. It's like, what?
She has tits but she doesn't know she has tits, she's also not interested in the hot ones. You know, that is a good fantasy, why not?
She's like, she loves dumpy guys, she's like, wait, whoa, perfect. This absolute female model martial artist loves dumpy frumpy dumbasses. Oh, just like real life.
I'm okay with that. Just also give it to us. Like, also give me the movie where it's like, it's this hot fucking dude, but he was a loser up until last year, so he still got a good personality. And he likes other losers too.
Right, right.
Mainly you.
If they show him being funnier and more charming, you believe him more as a guy for someone to fall in love with. Because you're like, yeah, it's not all looks. But if he's sort of fucks up so frequently with the ability to go back in time and redo things and still drops
and
the ball.
And he's not hot.
Yeah, and he's not. It's like, bro, please. Like, honestly, like, that's probably part of the appeal of this movie, too, is that sort of, like, male fantasy of, like, then I would get everything right. Like, people always, like, dudes always talk about, like, if I went back to high school knowing what I know now, and you're saying, like, so you're saying with the mind of a 39-year-old man, you would love to go back and fuck high school girls? And it's like, no, I didn't mean it like that. I just mean, it's like, no, that's what you're thinking. And I, when I was in my 20s, that's shit I would think of. Like, now I'm funny and confident and, like, understand women. I wish I could be in high school again where I was so afraid of everything and all that mattered was, like, not getting rejected and looking cool. But there... Men have just made that into like a capitalistic machine.
A genre of movies.
Yes, yes.
Which again, I'm here for. Just give me mine. Like I also want to go back and have dudes who, you know, would spit on me, like want to fuck me. Like right. Me too. Just give me that movie, but I don't get it. So now I have to sit here and be like, you sexist fuck writing a dog shit movie. How dare you? If you would just give me a dog shit movie, I would not come on this podcast and have something to say.
That would be a fun, like, a movie where like the woman is a mess and the dude is an absolute smoke and it explains nothing why he would be into her. Like, let's just make
And Trainwreck somewhat got close, except Bill Hader is still in the comedy space.
Like Rory Scovel is not unattractive enough for that to like hit the other way either, where it's like, I guess Rory Scovel, I'm like, he's like one of the more handsome stand-ups.
Like, yeah, you're talking about like in Unpretty. Yeah. Totally.
I'm thinking of two different movies there, aren't I?
But also, like, if we did it, which, you know, fair point. But if we...
We're talking about two different Amy Schumer comedies with high-concept rom-coms. Got it. Sorry.
But it's so tough, too, because... About Time, like, everyone accepted that as a rom-com. If you and I got a bunch of money together and we're like, all right, it's this trash bin with Chris Evans, everyone would be like, it's a joke or it irks me out. It's like under my skin.
It would be weird to come out now because it's too manipulative. Too manipulative of like behavior for your hero, for your positive protagonist. Also, they're very mean about every single other person in the movie in a kind of weird way, where they're like, even his one friend, the guy with the fucking spiky hair, they're like, that fucking freak. It's like, well, you don't have to be friends with him, but he does seem to be the only person. And then like the guy he works with, the sort of annoying little friend. And it's like, why do you hate that guy? He's the only person. He comes. And then the playwright is like an asshole character. You're like, is anyone enjoyable in this movie? And why are you all friends? Like, I was going to say, I did like that Uncle Desmond was like gone and they kind of allude to it that it's because of him having the power, right? Like he fucking broke himself in some way, which I think the dark side of the power is probably enjoyable too. Like seeing
Desmond maybe tried to do one good thing in his life with his powers. Yeah.
And then Bill Nighy beat him half to death for it. Teach him a lesson. You got to read. Desmond, be reading in your free time.
Even then, like, put that at the beginning. Well, maybe I should go help people. I should fight all the horrors in the world. And you go, no, you can't. It broke Desmond. And then talk about, like, what it does to help and blah, blah. And then he's just like, okay, then I can only put that in there.
Then I guess I'll use it just to get laid.
Then I guess I'll use it to fuck. But in the end, I'm going to give a monologue about true love. But you can't. Here's what also makes me really fucking upset is that if I came in with my Groundhog's Day movie, someone would say to me, this has been done, you dumb bitch. No. And yet so many other people are like, I'm just doing Groundhog's Day again, but with my premise. And they're like, here's $1 million. And I just think you should have to justify it. And one movie that I think really justified it really well is Palm Springs. Did you see
that? Yeah, whether the justification actually, like, that's all you need is a moment of like, oh, weird interdimensional rift here in the cave or whatever. It's like, sold. Yeah, like, I'm on board.
Oh, and like, they break the structural form of like, you think you're going to be watching the rom-com and then like 30 seconds in the premise hits and then there's twists on it. And then her decision in the end, you're just like, okay, it's a done form, but you at least did something different with it. And about time, not only did nothing different with it, but like didn't even make it make as much sense as the Bill Murray version.
They don't get it. They have a lot of opportunities where they could play like other redos for comedic moments or something if they wanted, and they just don't do it. So my complaint about the movie is all sci-fi based in that like the rules aren't clear. And I always think in sci-fi movies where there's like, especially time travel movies, the clearer the rules are, the more fun it is to like wrap your head around like, well, actually you can't do that because of blank, even if it is arbitrary for the movie. But this movie doesn't feature any of that. It's like, oh, sometimes your kid changes genders and that's it. And it's like, that's not even new in 2021.
I now know exactly what type of improviser you are. And from that speech, and actually it's the same type I am, but it's like, you have to set the rules of the world before you can like have fun and like do great comedic callbacks.
Yeah. And then when someone breaks the rules,
you're like, you dumb fuck, you broke it too early.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the rule.
We don't know what the rules are yet. What are you doing? Are you fucking serious?
And you get mad after shows and be like, God, they broke the reality of our dragon world. And then I couldn't do my great joke setup.
The world is coming back to normal. That means parties, social gatherings, live shows, assorted reasons to pump yourself up, whether you need like a Zen playlist, a gym playlist, or for me, I like to listen to audiobooks while I walk, but I like to listen to them on my Raycons. Raycon is now advertising on High and Mighty, and they have a great pair of headphones. I'll tell you right now, I like to throw on a fantasy audiobook with my Raycons and just go for a nice long walk. And here's why I like Raycons. They have come with a bunch of different gel tips for your comfort and they don't stick out of your ears. And that's like they are the most comfortable, and my ears are weirdly small, but for other people, they've been telling me that nothing sits in their ears like Raycons. Pretty much everything sits in my ears because they're so tiny. You just jam something in and it sticks. But the Raycons have been the most comfortable, and the feedback I'm getting from friends is that and I like the battery life. Other people have come back and said the battery life rules, and they're half the price of premium audio brands and sound just as good with a 45-day happiness guarantee. So create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, High and Mighty listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/mighty. That's buyraycon.com/mighty to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/mighty. Look, you're a busy person, so do yourself a favor, stop thinking about what to wear, and just embrace the radically efficient Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. It's a selection of clues rooted in smart design, performance fabrics, t-shirts, polos, button-ups, shorts, underwear, and beyond. Makes it easy to dress for work, leisure, and play. My 72-year-old father-in-law visited LA last month, and he had Mack Weldon pants that he wore on long walks and out to dinner, and he was so happy to have used promo code Mighty to get discounts on them. He was having the time of his life. So I don't wear any pants really ever. So my Mack Weldon experience is very short shirt and underwear heavy. I only wear Mack Weldon underwear, and I almost exclusively wear Mack Weldon socks. So this summer, I've been sleeping in Mack Weldon boxers, but wearing the briefs or trunks underneath my clothes. Highly recommend their Ace sweatshorts, which are super soft, and you can wear them with their Pima tees, which are their super soft tees. The silver knit polo and radius shorts are high tech, highly packable combo if you need like a little sort of, tactical gear. Not tactical, but you know what I mean. Versatile, sweat wicking, all that stuff. So buy some time this summer with the Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. For 20% off your first order, and it doesn't have to be the Daily Wear System, 20% off your first order of whatever, go to MackWeldon.com/high and enter promo code HIGH, H-I-G-H. That's MackWeldon.com/high, promo code HIGH for 20% off. Mack Weldon, radically efficient wardrobing. Let's talk about rom-coms we do like, just so I can leave here not hating you.
Can't hate me. And here's what I'll say too. Like I have a rom-coms being like dumb dumps of fun is why I love them. So I'm not like a film elitist. I don't need I don't even need all the logic. It's just that one had so many things that pissed me off, but like,
because rom-coms and action movies for me go in the same categories of like, I grade them on such a high curve. I'm just so happy to see a couple get together. I'm just so happy to see someone do martial arts that I'm like, I will any port in the storm. But and also two genres that get full of garbage, like that, like blockbuster garbage gets jammed in there. Shitty indie garbage, B-movie garbage gets jammed in there. But so I appreciate what you're saying. It's like, not that I only like high end. It's like this rom-com just doesn't work for me for these reasons. It doesn't have to be.
For these reasons. Yeah.
Because like The Proposal isn't a great movie, but I love The Proposal.
That's a great. I love The Proposal as well. I recently rewatched that. You know what movie I think is a fantastic recent rom-com is Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes.
I watched it like 7 times in quarantine. That is just a good rom-com, and even though there are things that people have called out about it that are perhaps problematic, they are nuanced, larger systemic discussions. There's not a character running around the movie making a bunch of hooker jokes. Like, right. It is, for the most part, like a really solid rom-com, and it has that those like deep heartfelt moments that I feel like make rom-coms the best.
Yeah.
That something like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days like doesn't have that, but hits the rest of it.
Yeah, you know, that's okay. So now you're onto, I like getting these categories within a rom-com that we're talking about here, because there is something to like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days has got the fun conceit that like some rom-coms have, but it doesn't have the you actually care about the couple energy that a lot some of these other movies have. But a recent one that really worked for me, and this is going to be not a surprise at all, is Long Shot.
Has an indie feel to it too.
Yeah, it has an indie feel to it, and maybe it's because it's Seth Rogen, who's pretty easy for me to watch a movie and go like, oh, a protagonist just like myself, a stoner bearded guy who's with a woman who's way too hot for him, my lifelong story. So it was so but I appreciated that one because I got into their romance, like I cared about them as a couple, and it was funny. But that's not enough. But there's some that had like that extra just sort of zhuzh of like, I hope this works for them. Like, this is so cute.
I love
like
that. You know, I you talked about like bringing your own bullshit to movies. Like, my bullshit that I bring to movies is that I can't stand that it's Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen. I can't stand it. And I think that's also It's just the same point I made before, which is that, like, I would love it if we ever got it, you know? And instead, I just feel like more lessons for women that if you're like a type A, what is she, the fucking president, that you need to be with the guy who like falls down the stairs because like you're too uptight, and then I'm out again. But it did have a lot of good elements.
Because I brought that up because I was curious, because yes, he is schlubby and she's an absolute smoke, but that is in the story. It's not in the story at all in About Time. Where yes. She's ever like, why would you go? Like, everyone, like June Diane Raphael's character in Long Shot is a blast because she's constantly like, get this disgusting fucking guy away from your Charlize Theron. Jesus. Like, I appreciate it. So I was wondering, but that is still, because it's still, they're not calling it out in like a structural, like, let's change the way. They're calling it out like, this is funny. But you're right.
Yes. And at least they call it out, but I still have all my baggage of like, all the movies that do that, where it's like wildly successful smoke show.
Yeah. And it's
can't
like,
can't find anyone to love.
It's like, where would you even, and this is awful to say, I'm afraid to even say something like this out loud, but where would you even cast a 40-year-old dumpy actress? Like, what would you be like? Because you can't.
Gabrus, I could cast that movie in about 2 seconds.
I could too, but like, where would an executive produce? Like,
they'll never let it happen. Never.
Right.
Never.
In my head,
yeah,
it's
you're
like,
right, you're right.
Like, who in Hollywood? It would be like, if it's not Melissa McCarthy, we got, and dumpy is a terrible word that is not, is an unfl. A non-traditionally sized or non-traditionally level of attractive of star. If someone was like, I have an idea for a rom-com, it just, the female lead has to sort of be, you know, kind of a mess, unattractive, kind of, why is she with this guy? And they'd be like, okay, yeah, we've thought about it. What about like Margot Robbie in a wig? And it's like, no. You don't understand. She's a hard, Pennsylvania-based police officer who's an alcoholic, whose kid died.
They'll be like, great, Sandra Bullock. Yeah, Sandra Bullock.
That's Mayor of Easttown. Is like, it's still Kate Winslet underneath there, people. Like, it doesn't work. It's like,
yeah.
Let's think,
Seth Rogen is so funny and so talented, and he is very handsome. But when we're talking about the Charlize Theron role, where it's like she actually was a model and also an actress, they won't do it to the guy because the guy holds up all the comedy of the movie. She isn't. Hold up any of the jokes. And that's again where I bring my bullshit to it, where I'm like, when are you also gonna get to be funny? And right. They can't cast a model as him because someone in the movie needs to hold up all the funny.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any male models that are like hilarious.
Well, that's
a bunch of TikTok guys are like, what about me?
Because a woman who wants to be a movie star in comedies also has to bring, like, she also has to be a model. A guy can be like, hey, I'm just people think I'm funny. It's like, great, you're a movie star. A woman's like, hey, people think I'm funny. It's like, people think she's funny and want to
fuck
her.
You.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think this girl's funny, but every time she's like, whoa, and that's hilarious. Plus, she's got big tits.
I feel like so many people, society, when they think of a funny woman, thinks of Jenny McCarthy from Singled Out, who was sort of my crush at the time. Because it's like,
of course,
she picks her nose and sticks her tongue out and she's got insanely huge tits and a fake body. And it's like, I'm in love. And it's like, I think there's a lot of people who are still like, that's a funny woman. It's
oh,
like,
yeah, because she's like, I think I could. Listen, when I was first starting out, I traveled in this genre for a little bit until I like realized what was happening. But I'm still worried I could go on stage. And if all I did was be like, I was fucking sucking dick last night. And everyone would be like, ah!
Right.
No jokes. I would never have a punchline. And it's just like, I mean, like, how much cum can you take? Like, if those are my punchlines, I'm worried that I could do well in some areas.
Yeah, you would have a development deal. You would have another development deal for yourself. But like, you'd have your own show. And it's like, cock sucking with CD, and it's
and I'd be like, and it's fucking feminist, and it would be because we, you know what I mean, and yet it's still in that realm of like, like, if per comedy logic, you'd be like, She really never writes a joke, though. She really just kind of continues to sit on the dick at the end of jokes. Like, she used the microphone stand as a dick that she sits on, and it's pretty funny.
It works. And it's just weird that she doesn't.
I'm saying this out loud. I'm like, should I go workshop this?
Yeah. It's like, it works, just not in the sitcom format. Like, I feel like it's more of a one-woman show thing. It's like Home Improvement with the woman whose special was that. It's like, how do we unpack this into 200 episodes of a show? We made Tim the Tool Man Taylor stand up where he goes, we turn that into 200 episodes of television.
Like, mine is just like, oh, like that's mine. Yeah.
It just has orgasm noises throughout it. People are like, who is this show for? And it's like, it's the most popular show on television.
But this is like, again, going back to the beginning of the conversation where you watch someone do that and you're like, man, what the fuck? You're going to make a whole... Because here's the thing. I'm down with that set if it has a ton of jokes in it, actually.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw a woman in a bikini get up and do suck and dick jokes and they were hilarious, I'd be like, this is the best comedian I've ever seen in my life. I'm only mad when there's no jokes.
Yeah, it's got to be comedy. I I'm not here to tell you what and what you can't do comedy on, but I am going to tell you if I think it's funny or not. So it's like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But listen, I'm out there at every show. If you do your set half naked and you are funny, you are my God. I will follow you home just to protect you every night. And I have a job and places to be.
I have no time for this, but I'm willing to take it on because I'm so happy you guys. You were so funny up there. I'm ready to do it. All right, back to other good fucking. Oh, sorry.
Oh yeah.
Other rom coms you enjoy. I'm racking my brain for trying to think of a rom com that is from.
Well, you know what's coming up for me is rom drums, which isn't what we're in, but I. Practical Magic, I fucking love and Basketball, like
great,
the best movie. Oh my, okay, rom-com First Wives Club is here's the thing, it doesn't hold up, but I watched it when I was a kid and I learned an important lesson, which is that I watched it and I was like, you can fight back after a divorce. And I was like, this movie's tight. And I was like, what? And literally, I think First Wives Club introduced me to feminism, even though that's probably not what they were doing. And I still love that movie, though. If it gets in early, you always love it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I saw About Time in the theaters with my wife. So, like, I'm like, it's stuck in my fucking head forever. Rom-droms come to mind a lot, too, because, like, The Notebook I watched recently again, and I was like, I remembered it like as romantic and it does have some funny moments, but it's not a comedy. And I forgot that.
Yeah.
And I'm so rom. So immediately goes to com in my head. And then you're like, oh no, this is not When Harry Met Sally. This is sort of a little heavier than that. And there's like the grown up element. And I'm like, oh, the current movie out. And you're like,
are you a Harry Met Sally fan?
I understand. It's just the four people in that movie, the four leads, are just so on fire. They're just all in their pocket doing so that if you watch it as like a time capsule, it's so enjoyable. Another movie with a weirdly mismatched level of attractiveness in the main couple.
Oh, that's again where you're just like, ha.
Yeah, it's like Meg. The fact that Meg Ryan shows up in Top Gun as Goose's wife and not Tom Cruise's wife is crazy. Yeah.
Oh, you know what is one of my favorite rom-coms is While You Were Sleeping.
Ooh, good one. I like
that
one.
That one fucking holds up. It's comedic and it's like, and you know what? It does play with the, like, she's the dumpy girl who can't get with the guy, but it works. It works.
But also that movie kind of suffers from a little bit of the About Time issue that, yes, Sandra Bullock is now with the guy, but wasn't what she did very wrong?
I actually would say no, because she never, because when he wakes up, it is fully his choice and he knows.
Right.
He's like, I want to be the kind of man who is with you. And they also are never kissing, never fucking. He's just like, I want to try and be with you. So it's all consensual,
okay,
baby.
He doesn't take three chances at fucking her. And I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but again, let's get into the science. Is his refractory period reset or is he lasting longer because he just busted? And if that's the case, is he doing three loads back to back to back in which case, well, solid. Yeah, but
okay, wait. This is where you really break down the sci-fi aspect. So every time he goes back in, he can last longer. But does that mean his body never resets, even though time resets?
Because then he would be way older than everyone else or whatever. Right, he would be so aging crazy.
Yeah.
But I thought also a possible story moment there would be is that he is going back in and trying harder. Like, possibly of being like...
But oh. Why wouldn't you... Oh, okay, wait, I think I know what it is.
Because he's now not... Because it's psychological. He's like... Because the first one is way too exciting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of pressure to handle. Ask my wife about what that was like in 2003. And... it's a lot of.
It was just you giving a 45-minute monologue about how much it's going to suck and then 30 seconds of sex.
I'm like, it's going to be 25 seconds long. I go 35 seconds. I go, oh, over. I did better than we all thought.
No, you're right. It's because he mentally already knows what it's like to fuck her so that he can last longer, which honestly is disgusting.
It's so creepy. It would be like, wow, that was amazing sex. It's like, I know, I spoke to your ex-boyfriend about all your favorite stuff. And it's like, what? It's like, that's not flat. That's not cute. It's like,
you can ask him, like,
my restaurant,
psycho.
Maybe. Like, you're not allowed to say, like, the positions that work best on me. That's so fucking.
You're right. Oh, God. I
feel
movie.
Like, you know, he comes back in with, he's like, whoa, I could do better than that. Let me get another chance. And he even has to, like, let's do some mouth stuff for longer. And like, he doesn't trip the second time, which I'm like, is it that the pattern that he's feeling, or is he living off the fact that he's like, well, now I've fired off two rounds. The third round's going to be a long one. I'm going to let me go one more and really, because she says, oh, only once. And he seems like, oh, I can't go again. Which does that mean it's his fourth?
I'm not sure I know women who are like only once. It's just like, there's like this porn myth that's like, you should beat my pussy to death. When
dude,
you have
porn
sex
has
with me.
Ruined
beat it to death.
You porn know?
It's
has
like,
ruined.
No, thank you.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's like that's actually no. And honestly, if it went too long, I'd be like, "What's like? Can you speed it up? Like, I don't want to be like, here 9 hours."
My friends would be like, talk to a woman, say like, "Yeah, this guy with a 13-inch cock had 45 minutes of uninterrupted humping in the porno. That's what women like, right? Like any woman would be like, what? Fuck, I don't want to be on all fours for 40 minutes. Like, I don't want to, like, that's insane. Like, no less having sex during it. Like, it's just like, it doesn't make, and it fucked me up when I was a kid because you're just like, dick size is confusing and like, what? And then you're like in your own head about all of it. And then you like, just get to it. And it's like, then you find out women are in their head about it, and you're like, yo, let's all talk. It's not like that at all. Yeah.
Let's get in the comment section of YouPorn and figure this out. No, because if it is going for that long, you should see the woman coming like 9 different times.
Like, and if not, then it's like, what? This is waterboarding at this point.
Yeah. It's just like, buddy, you got to stop. Like, it's not supposed to be 1 hour and then she comes and then you come. Oh God, yeah, that shit. Okay, wait. I thought of a rom-com I love, Fools Rush In.
Oh, is that the Matthew Perry one?
It's Matthew Perry and Salma Hayek.
Oh yes, okay, that's why I can place it now. Yes. Oh God,
that's a great one. And shockingly, it is not that offensive when you go back to it with a premise that could really lead you down some dark places in the 90s when that shit was written.
Yeah, like a little dicey, the immigration.
There's a few things, but it is not. You're like, wow, how did you? This is a miracle.
I'm very. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. There's one I would like to load up and remember.
Oh, yeah.
Fools Rush. Damn, that was. I did like. I'm trying to think of other ones. Joe versus the Volcano. Now I'm in Meg Ryan is in my head, so now it's hard to think of anyone else. But Joe versus the Volcano is a rom-com that I always loved. And I didn't care for Sleepless in Seattle is better than You've Got Mail, but like I don't care either way.
Yeah, Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail are like put it on the background while you like do work for me. They're not like big hitters.
I'm not going to settle down and be like, I need to see this because it's so because I'm not rooting for them to get together. Even Harry and Sally, and I love that movie. I'm not like, when they get together super happy. Like, I don't like
it, yeah.
Like, so like,
it was like that, the premise played out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, enjoyable. The movie, the third act has occurred. Like, it's,
yes. You know what movie was also recommended to me a lot on this thread, to the point that I realized I had put it on before and turned it off because I hated it, and I put it on again. Down with Love.
Ooh, I don't even think I know which one that is.
That it's crazy because it's the director of Bring It On, who I think that movie is so well directed. I know I'm talking about Bring It On, but I think the direction is like incredible in that movie.
It's so
then he
good.
Does this so good. Then he does a movie Down with Love with Renee Zellweger and
and Ewan
guy
McGregor,
in Star Wars,
and they're like
Ewan McGregor.
They're like old timey performers or something, or.
Yeah, it's in the 60s, and she's a book
performers.
Author.
Okay, got it.
But the whole movie, the entire movie is wordplay and double entendre. And I was like, if I wanted to see double entendre, like, I would go to my own improv show. Like, I'm going to blow my brains out. Like, I can't believe you scripted this and put it down forever.
Dude, if someone handed that in as a 3-page sketch to Maude Knight, you'd go, this needs more. And it's like, you mean another 140 pages and then turn it into a screenplay? It's like, no. Didn't say that. I meant it needs more going on. Like, it's not enough to last for a 3-minute sketch. It should not be enough for me. Now I'm definitely watching Down with Love if it's all puns.
Oh, yeah.
And
you'll see a lot of you'll see some like great directing, and like he would turn the camera in weird ways and like match up frames and bring it on in a way that was like incredible because it was like their cheerleading moves. But then in Down with Love, it's just like, a dick entre, like double entendre on the phone. And then he's in a split screen being like, what? And then it looks like she's humping her pillows as he's like putting his fist into the screen. So maybe his fist is going inside her as they talk on the phone.
I'm very curious. The director's name is, he did Ant-Man, Peyton Reed.
Peyton
something
Reed.
Like
that. Yeah, that's right. By the way, what if you put this movie on and you love it.
Well,
say right here, right now, we come back on the podcast
and fight about
and
that.
Scream
one.
It out. This actually wasn't a fight, which I was like, we seem to be on the same page that that movie sucks.
I wanted to get into, and my relationship with movies changed over time. So I think am different than the rest of society in that way, in that I can say like, this thing I like is not as good as I thought it once was. It's like, I used to fucking love Skittles. All right. Now I'd much rather have fucking chicken. Okay. So like,
wow, you've grown so much.
I've grown so much. Now I eat chicken for dinner instead of tropical Skittles. but I'm always down to talk rom-coms, and I will message you after I see Down with Love, and
please.
And if I enjoy it, I will stand by it. I'm not afraid to fight. But I want the listeners to watch About Time and then tweet when this episode comes out. Chelsea will be tagged in the tweet about it. Reply with how you feel about Time and or a rom-com you think really works that you think we would dig. If we haven't maybe seen it.
Yeah, I would love that.
I haven't seen a lot of foreign rom-coms, and I know they often get remade in English language and like just change all the specifics. But if there's anyone like who knows foreign language films that are rom-coms, I am very curious because
me too.
My least favorite part of rom-coms is the pop culturally. Like, they always feel like they're trying to be so in the moment that it's like, they got to mention Star Wars or like, you know, that's like, it feels like too. And I'm like, I just want someone with a completely different set of references to make a movie and see like what that feels like to
watch.
It's
interesting too, though, since humor is so different, you know, per culture, it's like, yeah, I wonder what that does that means. I will say this though, when you put your replies in, I really, really need you to sit with this because I had people tweet me that Leaving Las Vegas was their favorite rom-com. And so then my dumbass put that movie on,
not
watched the
funny
whole thing.
At all.
And I literally said, the best rom-com in the world. I was like, was this an incredible prank? Like, just the best prank to waste 2 hours of my life?
On the spectrum of rom-com to rom-dram, Leaving Las Vegas is outside of rom-dram. It's like rom-horror, more or less.
It's so, yeah, anyways. So really put some thought into it because I love me some rom-coms.
Yeah, everyone's like, the movie Room. It's like, no, yeah. What?
Yeah, wait a minute. Now I got to look it up. Leaving Las Vegas. Wait a minute. I said the wrong film.
That's what Nick Cage.
No, it is. Okay, what's the movie with Nick Cage and Sarah Jessica Parker also in Vegas?
Oh,
and it's Las Vegas because this is looking like maybe a no. This is the same movie.
Am I getting movies confused? Because Honeymoon, is there Honeymoon in
Honeymoon?
Vegas?
Honeymoon in Vegas. No, I said Leaving Las Vegas. I must
Leaving
Las
Vegas,
Vegas
is like a heavy duty. Yes, Honeymoon in Vegas oh, is yeah. the SJP okay, Nicolas Cage movie.
Okay, but here's the thing: everything you were saying about that horror movie, you're like not funny at all. Fuck, and I'm just like yes. Know, all of it still applies.
Oh my god, I gotta rewatch Honeymoon in Vegas. I haven't seen that in forever.
No, you don't. No, it's so bad.
Well, I would like to recommend Leaving Las Vegas, but know that you're going into seeing a movie about like alcoholism and it's okay. You know, like it's not yes. funny at all. Like,
is that yeah. the one where they kill a stripper?
No, that might okay. be there's two movies where they kill a stripper. Very bad things.
There's 19 movies where they kill.
Well, there's two movies that came out at like the same time where the premise is like it's called like Stag Party and the other one is called I forget
Rough
the other
Night?
One. Oh, well, Rough Night is the newer one, like where they flip the genders. This
yes,
one.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Stag Party. And I forget what. Oh, and Very Bad Things. And they literally both okay, okay. are about a group of adult men who accidentally. And it's so clearly like, what's a man's worst fear? What if they accidentally killed a woman in good fun? Not what if they got killed.
God.
It's like the scariest thing men can think of is what if we accidentally killed a woman and we couldn't cover it up.
It's,
but
it's
we didn't
that,
mean it.
Oh my god! It is that old joke that's actually not a joke. The author wrote it. Oh, I got to think of her name, but it's been remixed so many times. Which is like a man's worst fear is that a woman will laugh at him, and a woman's worst fear is that he'll kill her.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and a lot of people have done that joke in like remixes,
iterations.
Iterations, but it's a Margaret Atwood quote that she wrote just kind of like dead seriously, and I was like, that's my favorite joke. And she's like, it's not a joke.
No, it's an actually damning portrayal of society, and it's like kind of yeah. funny though,
but pretty hilarious. Your setup's
those are
great.
Frequently funny.
yeah, not as funny as the set I described earlier, but it is. Yeah. It's in the same.
And women are afraid men will kill them, and then put the mic stand up your butt. Thank you. That's been my time. Who is she?
Is that what she just said? It was just like just cutting insights into society as I pretended like I was fucking the microphone. It would be such a discombobulation of senses. I feel like I honestly feel like I'm going to do it. You heard it here first.
Fuck it. This is coming out later on in the summer, so you have time to workshop and have it land perfectly.
I also have time to email you and be like, can you please cut out most of the podcast and air this as like a 10-minute episode?
I need all that material. I got to fucking, this is my new character. I'm revamping. Oh, yeah,
I was going to say it's because I regret it, but yeah, you're right. Maybe it'll be my Netflix special. I'll be like, don't pooch my jokes.
Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty and defending your awful take on About Time. No, you really inspired me to watch it with a more critical eye. And, I don't frequently watch movies with a critical eye. I frequently watch movies with a I love movies eye. So this was, it was fun to rewatch something. And I'm like, it is kind of fucking weird. And not even the cheesy saccharineness of it. None of that. One last thought on before we get to your plugs. One last thought I had on About Time was, and I accidentally made it as a segue. Speaking of death, let's talk about, but this movie has so much more like death and bad shit happening to characters than most rom-coms.
Oh, it's like, yeah. And his sister's in a deeply abusive relationship.
And substance abuse, and she's going through, and like they're kind of played for like, she's played as like a manic pixie dream sister where she's just like, I'm a freak. And it's like, you need help. Like,
oh, and he never, never helps her. Just never. He never fucking helps her. Not one fucking, he does it. He one time and then he just never again. It's like, you could have helped her early in that relationship that night. Even in the end when she's like, I'm really depressed and like, I don't want to come downstairs. It's like, I don't know. Do it then. Do it then.
Like, go. London wasn't for her. It's like, well, get her out of London. Go help her. What are you like? What the fuck are you?
You can come back and live this life as we know. You know, I will say one thing I liked about the movie. Very superficial. I liked that she had a red wedding dress.
Yes,
I thought that was really anti the norm core of the rest of the movie. And yeah.
Is that because she was already pregnant? You think, and she couldn't wear white?
Probably. They're like fucking whore. She's a prostitute. Wear red in the movie. That was probably his direction in the email.
He's like, I'm 70. Wear red. Girlfriend, what are you, lesbians?
Wait a minute. What if he was genuinely to the costume designer like, well, she can't wear white.
That's what she's I pregnant. Literally thought.
Oh, yeah. God, that was the only thing I liked.
I do like the entire wedding scene. I think it's a played for fun. Like, I love the...
A really beautiful wedding in a rom-com.
And then I love all the fucking... terrible rain right after, everyone's dress is blowing, hats, like that's all funny. It's like, that feels like interesting, memorable shit from a wedding, but the rest of the movie feels, you can't help but think like, she has no idea. He's like, this is the second time he's seen her naked it back to back, and this is fucked up, dude. This is up, dude.
Because
in reality, and I'm not, this is fucked up, but he could have punched her in the face as hard as he wanted and then jumped in the closet, squeezed his fist, and been like, that never happened. That's terrifying. Like,
horrible.
If you eventually learn your partner can do that.
That wasn't written in the movie and then cut, you know?
If you eventually find out your partner can do that, I'm talking to someone, I've been in the same relationship for almost 20 years, so there's hard parts and easy parts, but it is like,
I didn't know that. That's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we have this same woman for coming up on 19 years.
How many times did you trick her to make?
Oh, well, I did it the old-fashioned way. We were very good friends for 2 years in college. We were best
so
friends,
cute.
And then eventually
the ultimate trick.
Yeah, the ultimate trick. Truly, is like, no, I'm here just as your friend. You're not also the most attractive woman I've met up at this point in my 19, 20 years on this earth.
I haven't been playing the 2 year long game. Okay,
it's truly like, no, you're not going to understand this, Tiffany. But I like your personality in addition to your breasts, and it's like, and I had that opportunity because you spent 2 years not showing me your breasts, and now at the most, but what, long story short, is if she had the ability to do time resets, there would probably be like, eventually she'd be like, I hit you in the fucking head with a beer bottle last night, and it's like, and I just reset it. I just, the catharsis I felt when I got to smash you in the fucking head, and you were like, what the fuck, and then I just reset it out of my mind. You don't, never affected you, but I got the feeling of like, anytime you bother me now, I know I smashed you in the head with a bottle at one point, you fucking...
I was just talking to my friend Robbie about this, where I was like, I got a great idea for a web series that should have come out 9 years ago, which is just, and maybe it exists, just the real, every Black Mirror episode, but what it was like for like everyone else. So the one where you can like remember things in a fight, like they get into like crazy car crashes, and mine would just be like, nope, look at that memory. Look at that memory. You didn't tell me the time. You didn't tell me the right time. And that would be the hour long episode.
And the hour long episode would be like the 10 years of your relationship where you, that's come up every time. Like that's come
every
up
time.
Like every
like,
every 3 months for a decade. Yeah.
Or like you can go back in time. It's like, so when we were fighting, I bashed your head in with a beer bottle and then quickly took it back. And I only did it because I knew you'd be fine. I would go back in time again. And then we would argue about that and the ethics of that. And that would be, that'd be it.
It works. It works. Chelsea, where can people find your book club and other stuff that you're doing, your Twitter, any of that? I'll tag you all in that so people don't have to get their pens out and write down handles right now. But
but I would really appreciate it if you did. Celebrity Book Club Podcast with Chelsea Devantes. It's on all the apps, which is basically where I recap, discuss, celebrate female celebrity memoirs, usually sometimes male, with another guest, usually another woman from the industry. And it gets, this is your warning. I initially started this as like a funny podcast. It is one of the deepest things it's the least funny thing I do in my life. Great advertisement for it. But what's in these books is shocking, like the deepest, most incredible trauma in like, you know, a Mariah Carey book. And so then
I'm listening to the Mariah Carey audiobook right now.
It's a great audiobook.
She sings at the end of every chapter.
Oh my God, yes. Fucking love it.
I will say, for memoirs, diehard fan of audiobook memoirs that are read by the subject.
Yes, especially singers. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, but as you know, Mariah Carey's book, like, incredibly dark. So we get into the dark shit, and then we also get into, like, the one paragraph on Nick Cannon.
You do. Sometimes your Instagram stories, I'm like, what is her night like? Is she, you're like taking pictures of notes and then writing, like taking pictures of a page of a book and then writing almost an equivalent amount of prose about reaction to what you're reading on that page. And I'm like, this woman is writing a full on coverage of a book and then recording an episode about it. And you have like 11 other jobs.
I started in the pandemic I started before the pandemic. So that is sad. But yeah, I was recapping the books on my Instagram stories and that's the book club. The book club is like all the DMs and stuff. And then now I enjoy it so much that I genuinely want to keep doing it. And it's not a burden to me yet.
I'm
sure it has to become one soon, but it's just not there yet because I'm like, how would I know why all celebrities have twins unless like a bunch of women who work at IVF clinics let me know that your body gives away so many eggs that the chances are so high that you'll have twins after like 40. And that solved Beyonce, J-Lo, Mariah Carey, Celine Dion. This was a mystery I needed answered.
Well, I'll help you solve that Mariah Carey mystery as well. Nick just had twins with his new partner. So it might be canon.
It might be canon, but how old is his new partner?
That's true.
Also, they said it was IVF. IVF can really up your chances of twins.
Oh, yeah,
and
because
also age in the woman.
Yeah, we did the IVF thing a couple of years ago, and they do discuss that because they're just like, you're hoping to get. It's very hard to get even one. So if like they're pushing a lot of stuff at you, and if two come, it's like take it.
You asked for this. You paid for this.
Yeah, this is yours now. It's cost you $58,000. Just fucking enjoy. Now the two kids will be insanely expensive. Oh, but that is very fun. I didn't realize about the whole little community surrounding it. That makes it
There's like it's so insane to say this, but I'm like, it's like a podcast community that I genuinely depend on and love. I'm like,
wow.
I'm just like, must I can't be nice. Believe that's part of my life.
Maybe it's the kind of people I'm courting for my podcast, but I don't want to engage with them at all.
Gabris.
It says more about the kind of like mouth breathers that follow me around. Like,
is that the name for your fans? Mouth breathers?
Shitheads, mouth breathers, it all works.
Well, listen, you can come be in the book club. If we find the right book, but here's the thing, you got to read a book, then you got to come on the podcast. So
I'm always down to talk. I watch movies all the time for podcasts. I would love to have to read a book.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen.
I enjoy Hollywood memoirs big time. I listen to a lot of like director and editor and producer memoirs because I don't care as much about the acting people, but every once in a while I just get it. Like Joe Esterhaus, the guy who wrote Showgirls.
Oh, that piece. I literally rail on him to death in the Sharon Stone episode. What a fucking monster.
What a monster. And he writes his own memoir. So it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. What a piece of dog shit.
He's like the cowboy hero in every interaction. It's so fucking funny.
So speaking of the Instagram DM book club, I was talking about him because he's in Sharon Stone's book. And women sent me like he wouldn't allow women to even edit his pieces at Rolling Stone. So he'd be like, you can't even spell check it. Like, I don't even want a woman's hands near this. That's how fucking misogynist he was.
Yeah, and he would probably say, it's because women hate me. And it'd be like, yes. And they hate you because of all your behavior leading up to this moment. It's like, they're not out to get you because they just arbitrarily chose you as a person to hate. No one's out to get you. You deserve to get got is what's wrong.
Here's a crazy question, though. Of all the director, producer, editor books you've read, can you name one by a woman?
Ooh. No.
Yeah.
Because it's all 70s shit, so it's not like...
And that's why... Yeah, but that's why I only read female books is because it's kind of like the only books letting women tell their stories are like these starlets who the only women we gave enough power for people to even want a book from. And so then it's just like, oh, this is the only way I can like hear about... And some of them are directors, but it's like, oh, this is the only way I can hear about it, because if I was going to read all those other books, then it's just like, it's all Joe Esterhaus being like... A pussy makes you dumb.
Yeah. You know, he's such a fucking piece of shit. Even in his own book where he's got all the power to make himself seem better, it's still
can't
like,
even write it. Can't even
barely
write it.
Barely need to look through the lines to just see, like, you barely need to look through the lines to just see, like, you're the asshole in all of these stories. And I can even tell you can't even trick us. Like,
oh, master. Yeah. Also, do you know he found out late in life? I know this podcast is supposed to be over. Do you know he found out late in life that his dad was a Nazi sympathizer? Is mm-hmm. that in the book?
Yep.
Wow.
And it's actually interesting because that part is interesting because how he deals with that. Yeah. It's like,
as
a Jewish man, he's like, he's not into it.
But it's just like, you're just like, oh, the guy who did Showgirls, blah, 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 blah. Dad loves Nazis. And you're like, whoa, I still didn't even see that coming.
All right. Well, I guess there is one thing worse than his movies about him, like about his lineage. Like, I guess we found... In a weird thing. Race to the bottom, I guess you found something worse than your show. Than
oh my god! Okay, thank you so much for having me. Listen,
please,
if you want to read books with me,
this.
At Chelsea DeMontes on Instagram and the podcast.
I highly excellent follow for that reason alone. I enjoy reading I enjoy reading passages from random memoirs on super small font with your commentary. I haven't listened to the podcast, but have I read way too many Instagram stories?
Why would you ever listen? You know me. Never listen to my podcast. You're done. You get it.
I'm not making it for you. It's so true. Like, my friends are like, sorry, I don't listen to your podcast. I'm like, I don't care. I would not. It's no big deal.
Yes, I don't care. And two, I've had people who know me be like, I love your podcast. And I'm like, why would you ever listen to it?
Delete it. Get it off your phone. I don't want you to be part of this.
No, I'm just like, oh, wow. What? My mom was like, I listened to it. And I was like, why? And she's like, I'm your mother. And I was like, I have really low self-esteem.
I have really low self-esteem too. And that's because my mom still hasn't ever listened to an episode of my podcast. And I've been doing it for 6 years now.
My mom's been on my podcast. But you know what? Having a podcast, but having low self-esteem, being a cocky piece of shit who hates yourself. A podcast is
it's perfect.
A podcast
for that.
Is your medium.
I hate myself, so you won't ever hate me for being so egotistical, but I do have enough of an ego that I'll talk for 90 minutes about whatever I want with my friends and try to sell ads against it. That's how confident I am in my, I'm a bad person. We know. Thank God we're here. Tune in next week for another episode of High. Follow Chelsea. Listen to Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea DeMontes. Trust me and just watch and do everything Chelsea does from here on out. It's a smart move on your part. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Thanks for listening, shitheads. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now.
somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators. We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dark.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!